topic of not being a stumbling block to weaker Christians. It is one of the commands that we are given as God's children, that we be careful not to harm the conscience of weaker brethren. And that's what the whole chapter, except for the little bit in the middle, which we'll do next week on the judgment seat of Christ. That's what the whole chapter is about. So notice verse 1, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord. For he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." We'll stop there for tonight. A stumbling block is our title. Lord, I pray you'd use this passage to help us, Lord, to always be very careful when we are around weaker brethren. Lord, to consider their conscience and not intentionally do anything to harm their conscience, Lord, while they're growing. And I pray, Lord, that we would be real about this. And Lord, rather than try to prove a point, that we would be sensitive to these things, and that the Holy Spirit would, as he guides us, we'd be sensitive to his guidance. So use your word in our hearts tonight. We thank you and pray you'll guide us in perfect truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So God is saying that there is a limit, obviously, to this, and that's the doubtful disputations. That he's not telling us that we are to delve into sin for the sake of not offending someone, that we can't go that far, but that we must be careful when we're, and notice the context is him that is weak. So this is talking about Christians that are weaker in the faith, and this weakness is going to, in this situation, manifest itself through a list of do's and don'ts in their life. So things haven't changed much in 2,000 years, have they? But it's about the weak Christian. Notice chapter 15, which we'll get to soon, verse 1. "We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves." Verse 7. "Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." And so the issue is not earthly things. The issue must always be doctrine and truth. Notice verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Of chapter 14, 14:17. In other words, the kingdom of God isn't about earthly things, is it? It's not about whether we eat this or don't eat that. It's not about whether we drink that or don't drink that. It's about these spiritual things, righteousness, peace, and joy. But weak Christians, and this a lot of times doesn't necessarily mean young Christians. You can have Christians that are been saved a long time, but they still haven't matured in this particular area. They're still weak. They're still a modern day Pharisee in some areas, and they haven't grown up out of that. And we need to be sensitive to those things. And then he uses the food as an example. It's only an example. There's going to be other areas where weaker brethren are going to have their list of do's and don'ts. But relative to food, he says, verse 2, "One believeth that he may eat all things." Well, that would be us. Amen? We believe the Scripture tells us that we can eat any creature as long as it be received with thanksgiving. God tells us that clearly in the Scriptures. But he says, "But another who is weak eateth herbs." Wow. So this vegetarian thing isn't new after all, is it? It's been around for a long time. He's saying this week there could be weaker Christians who think it's a sin to eat meat. And they avoid all meat because they're just being maybe extra careful. Notice down in verse 14, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. So Paul is saying, I'm aware of the fact that I can eat whatever I want. But then he says, but to him that him esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. He hasn't grown up yet. He still considers that to be a spiritual thing, a doctrinal thing, and it's important to him that he not eat that thing that is considered unclean. So what is God telling us? He's saying that these things are not worth fighting over. That's really the point, isn't it? Now, it's worth fighting over doctrine. It's worth fighting over the deity of Christ and eternal security and truths of the Scripture, but it's not worth fighting over standards, which is what we'll call this tonight. It's just not worth it. But when it comes to food, we all understand we can eat whatever we want because we've matured in our knowledge of the Scriptures in this area, and we have no problem eating pork. I mean, what would the world be without bacon? Amen? But there are people who still believe that it's against the Scriptures to eat pork. Now, it was definitely part of the law that people don't eat pork, but we know the law's been nailed to the cross. We also know the Scriptures have told us, look at 1 Timothy 4:4, just for one example, that we are allowed to eat whatever we would like as long as we give thanks for it. Notice 1 Timothy 4:4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Notice it says every creature. That would include pork, wouldn't it? So, yes, we can eat whatever we want, but what God is saying is there's going to be some weaker Christians in the faith who may consider pork to be wrong. So the last thing you would do is intentionally offend them by eating like a pork sandwich in their presence or inviting them over for dinner and you're going to have ham. That would just be cruel, is what God is saying. He said it's not worth fighting over. Why hurt their conscience? What's the point? In other words, you don't need to make a point. It's not worth it. And when it comes to doctrine, none of this is true. This isn't doctrine. This is Christians who have decided that these things are very important to them. They haven't matured beyond that yet. And we, if we're aware of it, we need to be careful. So verse 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. In other words, don't look down on the weaker brethren. Don't despise the weaker brethren. And it says, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth. In other words, the weaker brethren need to be careful too about being judgmental of Christians who know they have liberty in Christ. He says it goes both ways. It's wrong to judge, but it's also wrong to despise. They're both wrong. It's wrong for the mature Christian to despise or look down upon the weak Christian, and it's wrong for the weak Christian to go around judging the other Christians because they don't measure up to their standards. Both are wrong. Verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he should be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I love that phrase. We all have the same Holy Spirit. Amen? And that Holy Spirit is God. He indwells us as his temple. He is there to guide us into truth. Paul says, if you are being led by the Spirit of God and you are studying the Scriptures and you've come to a conclusion about one of these areas, then be fully persuaded that that's where you stand. And don't let a weaker Christian come along and say, but you're wrong. Verse 23 is an example of that. Sorry, I'm not there right this moment. But Romans 14:23, the end of our chapter. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So it's a faith issue, isn't it? It's an understanding of scripture issue, but let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Because as we know, if the Bible says that we doubt something, whether it's good or bad, what are we supposed to do? Don't do it, right? Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. In other words, if there's a doubt, then just don't do it. So verse 6, he that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord. So now he's moved from the meat to people that consider certain days more important. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. None of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. What's he telling us there? That we, yes, we are our brother's keeper. Because that's part of love, isn't it? That's part of loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, is being sensitive to their weaknesses. And so, no, we can't just plow on and say, well, I don't care what they think, they're wrong. I'm just going to do whatever I want. If I offend them, tough. That's the wrong attitude. And that's what this whole chapter is about, is our attitude toward our weaker brethren. It's not our place to judge them based on, or it's not their place to judge us based on outward behavior, but it's not our place to offend them. Both are, as we said, they're both equally wrong. Whether it be meat, whether it be a day, whether it be anything, God says be sensitive. Then we'll look at the 8 through 12 next week, which is talking about the judgment seat of Christ. But he does say in verse 10, why dost thou judge thy brother? We aren't here to do that. We are here to love our brother. But verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather. And here is the point, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That's our title, a stumbling block. It is wrong to do something that we know will cause a weaker brother to stumble. God says that is sin. We may be right and we may know we are right, but sometimes that isn't the point. We need to be sensitive to our weaker brethren. Verse 14, I know and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean. Paul says, I recognize myself. I know the scriptures. I'm mature in the scriptures. And I know that I can pretty much eat anything that I'd like. He says, I know that. But verse 15, if thy brother is grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat. In other words, if you know that it's going to offend him, then don't do it. It's not worth having that piece of meat at that particular time. He's saying, eat something else. Is it really that hard to just eat something else and not offend your brother? Paul knew he could eat anything, but he says, I'm also not going to intentionally offend my weaker brother. That's what he says there. Destroy him not with thy meat. In other words, don't harm his conscience. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The issue is always spiritual things, isn't it? Not physical things. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved to men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. So how we behave toward our brothers and sisters should be always to lift them up. Edification, that's what it means, to edify, to build up our brothers and sisters. He's saying if we intentionally offend their weak conscience, we are tearing them down, which we are not to do. And look at chapter 15, verse 2. We'll be looking at this soon, but it says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. There's that word edify again. In other words, we're not here to put self first. We're here to put others first, which we'll be talking about in Sunday school on Sunday. It's not only about us. It's about others as well. Verse 20, for meat destroy not the work of God. So, in other words, it's not worth it. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. If you go to 1 Corinthians 10:23, which is kind of, 1 Corinthians 10 has some parallel thoughts on this, as does 1 Corinthians 8. But notice 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me. In other words, I have complete liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says, however, all things are not expedient. They may be lawful, but that doesn't mean they're necessarily good for my Christian life, right? All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So he's saying, I have liberty in Christ, but there are some things that I should not do or not get involved in or maybe not get addicted to or whatever, because it isn't good for my spiritual walk. Not that it is sin, but in his case, he's saying there are going to be things that are not expedient. There are going to be things that don't edify. And I'm going to avoid those things, not because they are sinful or wrong in and of themselves, but they are wrong for me personally, Paul's saying, in this situation. Maybe we have a weakness there, or maybe we have a loved one who has a weakness there, or whatever. But what he's saying is, don't use your liberty to hurt others. Back to our passage in 21, all or maybe 20. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother. So remember, this is only talking about fellow Christians. That's the whole context. Remember, we saw that in verse 1. We're seeing it again here. It is not talking about the unsaved. So it's important that we make that distinction. But it says, where thy brother, what, stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. So there's our criteria. Verse 1, him that is weak. He says here in verse 22, or 21, it's good to stay away from whatever will what? Cause my brother to stumble, or be offended, or make him weaker in his faith. Give him time to grow in his understanding of Scripture and his discernment in these areas, but don't intentionally offend him. That's a pretty basic truth, but it's one that we should always be aware of as Christians. And remember, this second piece of Romans, starting in chapter 12, is the practical piece. This is as practical as it gets, isn't it? Just be careful not to offend your weaker brothers and sisters in Christ. If there's something that you know that will harm their conscience, then just don't do it in their presence. Do it at home. But don't do it when you know, don't do it in their presence when you know it could harm them or weaken them or offend them. Those are the words he uses. Just be sensitive, because we are to put our brothers and sisters above ourselves, right? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We are here to serve others. We are here to serve God. We're here to serve self last. Amen? So a stumbling block. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful reminder of this truth for us as your children. And I pray that, Lord, again, we would be careful not to offend others on purpose. And, Lord, to just avoid things that could offend others that are weaker in their faith so that they can keep growing. And, Lord, that we don't harm their walk with you just with our liberty. So may we be always on the lookout for these areas. We know the Holy Spirit will guide us, and that we pray that we'll be sensitive to these things. And we thank you for speaking to us tonight. And we love you in Jesus' name.